you are clapping for Jesus, I think you should do it better. It's not me you are clapping for, it's your Father. Let's rise to our feet. And take that prayer that Brother Neil led the other time. Holy Ghost, I don't want it to be the regular Bible study. I want you to encounter me. Holy Spirit of God, I need you to encounter me this evening. We need you to encounter us. We are in the season of breaking forth, and it's going to be a waste if you come to midweek service and you just go home like that. We seek the presence of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Ghost. Elika barosu gade gade kumanantali abalatosye. Ebrakuvashi gade 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 tuashyanda balatosye. Elikwa kapane subratia devali dosye. Since when the Spirit of Truth is coming, it's going to guide you into all truth. Elikwa bane sumbalataya da da da. Oh, I need you to pray. Elika tushyagaba. Let the Spirit of the Lord come down. Oh, let the Spirit of the Lord come down. Oh, let the Spirit of the Lord of the heaven come down. Let the Spirit of the Lord come. Oh, let the Spirit of God come. Let the Spirit of God. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Father. Oh, let the Spirit of God. Oh, If you are watching at this time, I think you're wasting your time. The Holy Spirit is your closest friend. We can have our seat. For as many as were around on Sunday, the theme was introduced to us as break forth. And whatever we are going to be considering today, we still be referring back to the theme breaking forth. Genesis 39. Genesis 39:2. I hope you are with your Bible. When you are coming to Bible study, come with 3 B's: your Bible, your book, and your Bible. Because you are coming to learn, just like coming to a class. So I hope we are with our Bibles, our books, and our Bibles. Can you raise it up? Great. So, Genesis 39, verse 2. It's written here. The Lord was with Joseph and made him successful. The Lord was with Joseph. When we are considering the theme breaking forth, most times emphasis is on the forth than the breaking. And when I was studying, I divided the word, the phrase break forth as break forward out. In the real sense, that's what forth actually means. Not just coming out. You are coming forward too, like forward and out. But it was a particular breaking that happened for a coming out. Most times, emphasis is on the fourth, like finding expression, coming into the limelight. We forget that there's a need for a breaking, for you to come out. And when we are saying breaking, you know, when the scriptures was talking about not putting new wine into an old wineskin, it says it's going to burst. Why? Because the new wine has not yet totally fermented. It will still keep fermenting. That way it will keep expanding. And a old wineskin has already stretched to its limits. It will not be able to take extra pressure, extra wine that the wine, that new wine is giving. So it will inevitably burst. So when we are talking of breaking, there's a requirement for pressure, isn't it? Is it that you are talking of pressure from within or without? You want to break a bottle, you use something to heat it. And we have the breaking from within also, where the pressure from inside, when we are talking of volcanic eruption, nothing hits the volcano now. It was too much of pressure that made it burst out. Some of us really need to come to the point where you actually give yourself that pressure. Pressure comes with discomfort. Accumulation of discomfort. You have to be dissatisfied with that mountain that you are currently for you to move. Because thank God, what scriptures were saying is in the book of Deuteronomy 1:6-7. It says you have dwelt, you have tarried, I know you know how to tarry, but you have tarried too long on this mountain. Thank God that it is mountain, it is not valley. Because let's say it was valley, we'll be like, it's not concerning us that children of God, right? As far. Thank God, the scriptures know me. He said mountain. Definitely, for you to even reach a mountain in the first place, there was a level of progress. Isn't it? That's why it's not going to exempt anybody, no matter the level you are. Mountain. You have tarried too long on this mountain. In life, there are times and there are seasons for everything. The time to plant, the time to harvest, the time to be incubated, and the time to break forth. You know, when we look at a chicken and when it lays its eggs, it stays on that egg for 21 days. It's giving it pressure. It's giving it warmth. It is brooding over it. There is not like, it's not like one miracle happened or one mistake happened and you just saw the chicks behind it. No. Even the chicken in the egg had to continually stay under the brooding of their mother too. So when we are talking of breaking forth, it's not just you coming to the limelight alone. There's a place for you breaking out. Breaking itself. You need to apply pressure. Breaking. In this context here, we'll be referring to it as traveling. Let's open our scriptures to Micah chapter 5, verse 3. Micah 5, 3. I hope you know where Micah is. Before Habakkuk. Bible scholar. Micah 5, verse 3. It says, so the Lord will abandon his people to their enemies until the woman in travail bears forth. Before you can break forth, sir, before you come to the limelight, you have to have passed through that traveling process, that breaking process. If not, Emma Lord, don't you see kingdom of God, the bad limelight. When we look at the life of Joseph, scripture says, and the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. And day after day, Potiphar's wife continued to lure him into sin, isn't it? Scripture says, every day. Ah. Yes, the Lord was with him. And there was consistent luring. God was intentionally dealing with the weakness of that lineage. Because if you look back at it, women is a particular weakness for that lineage. Yes, it is. That's when scriptures were saying in Romans chapter 8, verse 20, is that the Holy Spirit will help our weaknesses. It was not a mistake. Because if you have not stayed before coming out, you will misrepresent our kingdom. That's where the breaking up, that's where the breaking is very important. It's very vital. Breaking does not come with comfort. It doesn't. Scripture was referring to us in the book of Isaiah chapter 32, verse 9. It says, rise, O complacent daughters. Another passion says, rise, O daughters who are at ease. See, you cannot use ease and enter into destiny. They don't do it there. They don't do it like that. Your kingdom can combine. There has to be a breaking, a stretching out. And definitely it's not easy. No, it's not. So tonight we'll be considering the impact of the Holy Ghost in breaking forth. The significance of the Holy Spirit. Open your scriptures with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The second part. I say to be. Scripture says, and the Spirit of the Lord was over him. over the fish of the deep. Before that, there was the record of raging oceans. There was the record of gross darkness. The scripture says, the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the waters. There's been that record where nobody knew you. The only thing that was in that was potential. Scripture says, the heart was formless and without void. And was void. Without form. It has been known that you carry potentials. Thank God we treated unleashing. But that potential will later be tragic to you if you don't stay under the brooding of the Holy Ghost. Just imagine Joseph didn't go through that and win definitely. You know that if he should mistakenly enter Pharaoh's palace, he will seduce, he will even be the one to seduce this time, the wife of Pharaoh. Isn't it? You will. That's why what we are talking about right now, that the Holy Spirit is brooding on you, is so that it's going to work out those weaknesses, because you cannot carry it to destiny. They don't do that here. They don't do that. Holy Spirit needs to brood. Scripture says in Isaiah 32 verse 15, say, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, that the desert shall become a fruitful field, and fruitful field a forest. Until the Spirit is poured out. When he's working out those weaknesses, those things that will later make it become a tragedy. God has opened this season for us. But we cannot neglect the place of the Holy Ghost. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, 2, 3. John said, the voice from before came back to me and says, come up hither. And what happened? They say, at once the Holy Spirit took over. See, there is no breaking forth without the Holy Spirit. You cannot use emotion to carry it. It's not motivational speech we are doing here. We are talking of reality. See, motivation is not going to carry you so much. You can do it. You have to train your mind. Yes, true. Yes. You have to be very disciplined. Yes. God does not sponsor complacency. But there is the place of the Holy Spirit brooding. God is sending you out into different spheres of life. He cannot afford to send you out with that version of you. And the Spirit of the Lord over the face of the deep. Said, your Spirit is poured upon us from on high. Until the Spirit incubates us. Until the Spirit walks through that weaknesses with us. Until then, desert shall become fruitful field. For now, it's looking like those potentials are just potentials. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, Acts 1 verse 8 says, when the Spirit, you shall receive power. When the Holy Ghost has come upon you, then what happens? You shall be my witnesses. The same Peter that could not bear to testify as Jesus' friend was the one that stood up and faced 3,000. It is because the Holy Spirit has come. Since they were in the upper room and they devoted themselves to prayer. My sister, she wants to come to the limelight, and you are not a woman of prayer, they will send you back in. Doesn't even have to be heaven now. The light you are coming into will send you back. This one is not ready. It's only two ways. I used to say it to my friend. See, in this life, it's only two things. It's either you are with God or you are with the devil. And for us that are children of the light, there needs to be a good grip of the one who has called us. There is no breaking forth without traveling. You cannot break forth that way. There's no breaking forth without traveling. Until you travel and bet forth. Let us quickly go through when a woman gets pregnant. You know, when she first gets pregnant and she's just speaking to the woman, congratulations, your sister is pregnant. The way we've actually encouraged her, you are a woman of potential. You have this, you have that. But let me tell you, during that nurturing process, nobody is helping that woman to carry anything. See, your pastor will not help you to incubate. There's his own place. But in the place of traveling, in the place of nurturing those potentials, just by yourself. By yourself. Traveling. When our time has come, when it's 40 weeks, and she goes into labor. See, nobody will also help you to labor. Nobody. Nobody congratulates a woman at 7 months. Yeah, congratulations, you are 6 months pregnant. Have you heard that before? The only time they will congratulate you is when, at the beginning, when you are first discovered that, oh yeah, you carry the potential. And at the end, when you bettered forth. Koda, you cannot bet forth only the head of your child and they will congratulate you. Yeah, congrats, you have done well. No. You will have to go through the process properly. From the beginning to active phase until everything happens. In fact, in some hospitals, if you have not entered active phase of labor, they will not even consider you serious. The same way, everyone will still be looking at you at this point. Oh, my little sister, she's still comfortable with the state that she is. Scripture says unto the Spirit is come, poured out from on high. That traveling process, that making process, no, that daddy was talking about furnace was then. That traveling process, the Holy Spirit is still there. He says, he knows that you do not know what to pray about, but the Spirit helps our weaknesses with groanings that cannot be uttered. My sister, you will pray. You will have to pray. You will have to pray. It's not just mind games. It's not just calculations. There needs to be a shifting. And it is enforced with prayers. We talked about breaking within and without. Holy Spirit within, Holy Spirit upon. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, Scripture says, the Holy Spirit was hovering. Then God said, let there be light. So after there was the hovering, yes, the light can now come forth. He can now come to limelight. And they will be sure that, okay, yes, you are ripe for it.
Mimi Mohesaba, sorry I am you. Keg be me fo, keg be me sare. Emi mi mo hesaba, sorry aye mi baba. Keg be me fo, Gbe mi sare Emi mi mo emi si aye mi Emi si aye mi baba Ke mu mi fo Ke mu mi pujade Owa Oluwa unjoba Lori aye mi o Ongbe mi fo Shalom, be mi sare. Owa Oluwa unjoba. Sori aye mi o. Egbe mi fo.
Holy Spirit, you hover over us. Holy Spirit pours himself out upon us because there's no breaking forth without that process, without the hovering, because it is from there the light can come forth. God will not want you to go out there and misrepresent the kingdom. The only thing you want to do is to come to the limelight. I want people to know me. Ha. Ha. So that heaven will not be like, ah. Papa Demo. She drove me 1 year. Many of us are currently at the state of prolonged pregnancy. Prolonged potentials. Like, why? Because you are not yielding yourself to hovering, to breaking. What happened in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 is like the breaking of a new dawn. It had, darkness was not just there. It had always been there. Oh, let's go back to it. It's looking like I'm saying some fiery device fables. Says in the beginning, when God created the universe, the earth was formless and desolate. The raging ocean that covered everything was engulfed in total darkness. But scripture says, those who live in darkness shall see a great light. Afterward, and the Spirit of the Lord moved. And the Spirit of the Lord incubated. And the Spirit of the Lord walked through the waters. Then God said, arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The glory of the Lord does not just rise in anybody, sir. And yet he passed through process. When you are incubated, you are not standing. Abi. But after the Holy Spirit was sure that, okay, I can present this candidate to limelight for the world, to behold the full stature of Christ in him. They're going to say, arise, shine, for your light has come. Then the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Those weaknesses, that wrong relationship, allow the Holy Spirit to brood over it. You cannot carry it to destiny. You can't. That little lies, easily besetting sin, walking by the destiny. Walking by one limelight, because that means that what they are going to see. As an evidence of a child of light, oh, child of light that still commits fornication, that he enjoys that pleasure in the process of brooding. My dear, there's no pleasure. There's no pleasure. The process of traveling, there's no ease there. You have to sit for the brooding to happen, because we don't want youths that we break forth into limelight and they are half-picked, unturned cake. When you turn it over, you see it's still beans, it's still paste. But don't want those that we misrepresent our kingdom. Give yourself. Yield yourself to the breaking. Because that's when the beautiful forthcoming will come out. That goes through the process of laboring, traveling, in the place of prayer, in the place of learning. You travel. On your knees, you travel. It's not mind games, not mind calculation. The breaking forth we are talking about here is not the worldly kind of break forth. It is the one that is divinely orchestrated. It's the one that comes with instructions. So you cannot afford to just go anyhow. They won't even allow you to go. You would rather stay there. Let me tell you, there's time and season for everything. When a child stays too long in the womb, what is sponsoring the child's health, what is giving the child nutrients, begins to become insufficient. So, but now imagine how long you must have been carrying that potential inside of you. Why? It was when I was studying the book of Ephesians 5, I knew that it is you that will allow the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will not force himself on you. Galatians 5, verse 16 says, what I say is this, let the Spirit direct your life. Let, allow. Ti oluwo ba ti sabali e o le dan kankan. Your kingdom can come back. Without the Holy Ghost? No. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't. So before the fourth, I know you are excited to come into the limelight. I know you are excited to put yourself up on social media. Oh yes, this is the new girl. She's the reigning lady. The woman with, what do we hear now? The man with okay, let's have this. I think this was a common mother for generations, father of great nations, father of great nations, father of great nations, mother of generations. Dieu l'ébré. Ah, what do you want to mother? All of you will be singing, nations are waiting, people are hungry. What do you have to offer the nations? You that you have not even yielded to the last instruction that the Holy Spirit gave to you. Ah, working shebe. Let Spirit of the Lord move over you. Spirit, move over me. Holy Spirit, move over me. Holy Spirit, move over me. Oh, Spirit, move over me. If you want the Holy Ghost to move over your life, start praying to you. Ask him, because you need to know that he will not force himself on you. Oh, Spirit, move. Holy Spirit, over us. Holy Spirit, move. I've come to the realization that you cannot do anything without the Holy Ghost. Rise to your feet. Rise up. Rise up. Rise up. Rise up. Rise up. Holy Spirit, move. I shoot myself to fruiting. I shoot myself to incubation.
Oh,
Sabba.
Gloria.
In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. We can have our seats. So since Sunday we have been considering breakfast, and earlier Sister Praise has led us that it is not possible to break forth without the brooding of the Holy Spirit. So right now, we are getting to the crux of this teaching, and I trust that the Holy Spirit is going to take us further in His counsel, in Jesus' name. Alright, so continuing in that light, we are also considering breakfast. We are still considering breakfast. And we are going to be picking some lessons from the life of Joseph. Genesis chapter 41. It's a long reading, but then I'm going to pick just some specific verses to read. Genesis chapter 41. So I'll read from... Okay, so backstory. Joseph had been sold by his brothers, sold to the Midianites, and then he was sold again to Potiphar's house, from where he went to the prison. And then from the prison, he met Pharaoh's officials, the chief butler and the chief baker. So these guys had dreams, and then Joseph interpreted their dreams. One was restored to his state, and then the other was hung. So from verse 1 of chapter 41, when 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile. When out of the river, there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the river bank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. Verse 5. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads of grain sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 healthy full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. Verse 8. In the morning, his mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings." Before I proceed, when Joseph interpreted this guy's dream, he told him that when you have been restored, remember me and speak to Pharaoh about me. But then he's saying here to Pharaoh in verse 9, then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings." Verse 10, Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now, a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was hanged. Verse 14, where I'm going to pause. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Verse 14 again. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. So Joseph had been in the prison for such a long time. The Bible did not specify, but it was 2 years after he had interpreted the chief baker and chief butler's dreams. And then there came a need for somebody who could interpret dreams. Pharaoh had dreams, and then all the magicians and the fortune tellers, all of them in Egypt, they couldn't interpret Pharaoh's dream. And then there was a need to bring Joseph out of the prison. My emphasis is not on Pharaoh's dream. My emphasis is on the fact that Joseph needed to be brought out of the prison. Somebody is here tonight and you have been in a prison for long. Prison is not essentially or not necessarily a building or a confinement. A prison is anywhere your movement is restricted. A prison is where you don't want to be that you are. Somebody's prison may be sin. Somebody's prison may be addiction. Somebody's prison may be habits that have graduated into addiction. Somebody's prison may be academic failure. Somebody's prison may be poverty. Now, like Pharaoh called out to Joseph, like Pharaoh sent for Joseph, the king is also calling somebody. Jesus is calling you tonight. And like Joseph came before Pharaoh, I want you also to come before God. It's a call. It's a call. I give you 2 minutes. I want you to respond. I want you to respond to God. He's calling you out of that prison. Can you just respond to him? Can you respond to him? Can you respond to him? Say, Lord, I am coming out. I am coming out. I am coming out. Is your prison sin? Tell him I am coming out. Is your prison addiction? Tell him I am coming out. Yours is fear. The Bible says he has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Romans 8:15 says you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Can you cry Abba tonight? Let him help you. Come before him. Come before him. Joseph's coming before Pharaoh was the beginning of his breaking forth. Can you come before the king tonight? He's calling to you. He's calling to you. Is your prison prayerlessness? Is yours weakness in prayer? We have a spirit who helps our infirmities. Even when we do not know what to pray, when we do not know how to pray, can you respond to his call? Respond, respond, respond. Say, I am coming, I am coming. Respond to his call. You have called me to your table, so I will dine. I have bread and I have wine, and I am forever satisfied. You have called me to your table, so I will dine. Can you respond, respond, respond? We were told on Sunday that breakthrough begins from God. Breakthrough begins from God. Can you respond? He's calling you. The king is calling you. The king is calling you. You cannot be helpless. You are the child of a king. You are the son of a king. Can you respond and come before him tonight? Can you come before him tonight? Can you come before him tonight? Come before him. Come before him. You have called me to your table, so I will dine. I have bread and I have wine, and I am forever satisfied. You have called me to your table, so I will dine. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Alright, so moving on. Verse 14. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Verse 15. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you, that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Verse 16. I cannot do it. Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. The first thing I would like to mention to us is that
when you break forth or when you are looking to break forth, you must learn to acknowledge God. You must learn to acknowledge God. Fine. It was the gift of God in Joseph. It was Joseph interpreting all the dreams earlier. It was him who was spoken of to Pharaoh. But then when Pharaoh confronted him, he said, I cannot do it. But God will give Pharaoh an answer. Acknowledge God. Acknowledge God. When that financial breakthrough comes, acknowledge God. When that big break in your business comes, acknowledge God. When that result comes and your CGPA has increased, acknowledge God. Don't say, oh, I read tirelessly. I was researching all through the night. This is not to glorify laziness, but acknowledge God. For it is He who is at work in you. It is God who is always at work. So learn to acknowledge God. Learn to acknowledge God. Verse 17, I'm continuing. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, in my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile. When out of the river, there came up 7 cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean. I had never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the 7 fat cows that came up first. But even after they ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. They looked just as ugly and before. Then I woke up. Verse 22. In my dreams, I also saw 7 heads of grain, full and good, growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads sprouted, withered and thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 good heads. I told this to the magicians, but none could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Verse 33. This was after Joseph had told the meaning of the dreams, how that the 7 lean cows and the 7 withered heads of grain are 7 years of famine, and the 7 fat cows and the 7 good heads of grain are 7 years of plenty. Verse 33. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Another thing I'm going to say about break forth is that for you to break forth, you need wisdom and discernment. Wisdom and discernment. Now, how do you get wisdom and discernment? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we can see that also in the life of Joseph. He feared God. I'm going to read Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39 from verse 6. This was Joseph in Potiphar's house. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. Verse 8, but she refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. Notice, how then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Not how could I do such a wicked thing and be unfaithful to my master? Not how could I do such a wicked thing and defile my master's bed? But how could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? I said all of this to say that you need wisdom and discernment to break forth. And if you're going to be wise, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Is the fear of the Lord. And not just abstaining from sin because pastor is going to say, what did you do today? Or because my mommy is going to call me? Or because I'm a worker in church? But because you fear the Lord. You're not going to be chaste. You're not going to live a life of sexual purity because you want to get married to a godly man. Because you fear the Lord. You're not going to cheat in the examination, or not because you don't want to be caught, or you don't want to be rusticated, because you fear the Lord. If you are going to break forth, the fear of the Lord is paramount. And the fear of the Lord, the Bible says, is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. So back to Genesis chapter 41, verse 33. Now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. All of this that was going on, Joseph, I like to believe that Joseph had not known that was going to be the person that will be placed in charge of Egypt. Because verse 39 now tells us that then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God had made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning as and wise as you. Joseph was wise and discerning. Now, what is wisdom? Wisdom is application of knowledge. In simple terms, I wrote here, according to the dictionary, wisdom is the ability to apply relevant knowledge in an insightful way, especially to different situations from that in which the knowledge was gained. What was the knowledge? Pharaoh's dreams and the interpretation. But what is the wisdom? That, okay, how does the interpretation of this dream? We know already that 7 fat cows and 7 good heads of grain are 7 years of plenty. 7 lean cows and 7 withered heads of grain are 7 years of famine. Now, what is the way out? That is wisdom. He says, after he said, look for a wise and discerning man, he says, put him in charge of Egypt, and then let them appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. That's verse 34 now. Verse 35, they should collect all the food of all these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities of for food. Verse 36, this food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. That is wisdom, the application of the interpretation of the dream of Pharaoh. It did not just say, okay, this represents 7 years of plenty, this represents 7 years of famine, and then he left. If he had done that, he had actually interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, but he hadn't solved the problem. So if you are going to break forth, you need wisdom and discernment. And that brings me to the next thing I'm going to be saying. Verse 38. So Pharaoh asked them, can we find anyone like this man? One in whom is the Spirit of God. Another thing I'm going to say, I'm not going to stay too much on that point, is that you cannot do without the Holy Spirit. And Star Praise has made us to understand that earlier. You cannot do without the Holy Spirit. There's no breaking forth without the influence of the Holy Spirit. Actually, wisdom and discernment are both operations of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah tells us that he is the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. And discernment, we know, is one of the gifts of the Spirit. Right? So if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you cannot break forth. That is the one that is going to give you that business idea. It's the one that is going to give you that reading strategy. I remember during Fortizo, was it Coach Fashaki now that was saying one of his models that it was the Holy Spirit that gave it to him? So yes, the Holy Spirit does give ideas. And the Holy Spirit helps. The Holy Spirit can help you break forth. The Holy Spirit is one that is going to push you to break forth, to not overflow what has already been said. So you cannot do without the Holy Spirit. And then my last point, I read from verse 39 to verse 44. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. Verse 41. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. Verse 43. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and men shouted before him, "Make way." Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Verse 44. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all Egypt." It is one thing to break forth, it's another thing to advance. That Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 7, in my version, it says, "Break camp and advance." So for somebody here today, you're not only breaking forth, you are advancing. God is advancing you into the fullness of your calling, into the fullness of your purpose, into the provisions of your sonship. You are not just breaking forth, you are advancing. You are not just breaking forth, you are advancing. You are not just breaking forth, you are advancing. You are taking charge. Verse 40 says, "You will be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." And then he said it again in verse 41. "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Verse 44. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, title, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all Egypt, including Pharaoh himself." So we see here that Joseph did not only break forth, he actually advanced. I mean, he could have just interpreted the dream, and at best, Pharaoh would have said, "Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you." Maybe giving him reward, food, and send him back to his father's house. After all, he was like a slave there. He was sold. That was not his rightful place. He was a Hebrew. He could have been sent back to his father's house ceremoniously, at least for interpreting Pharaoh's dream. But then, because it was a time for the fulfillment of Joseph's dreams, and right now God is saying to us, it is break forth season. Say to your neighbor, it is break forth season. It is break forth season. It is break forth season. And God is also saying, you're not only breaking forth, you are advancing. Say to your neighbor, "I am advancing. I am advancing. I am advancing." Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 14, verse 30. John chapter 14, verse 30. So this was Jesus speaking. "I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me." The King James Version says, "The prince of this world cometh, and he has nothing in me." For somebody, that sin is going to come back and check you, but it will find nothing of it in you. Depression is going to come back and check you, will find nothing of it in you. Why? Because you are advancing. You are taking charge. When next the devil comes to haunt you, find out that you have taken charge. When they come back to that valley, to that low place, you find out that you have taken charge. In the name of the Lord, you are taking charge. You are advancing. You are taking charge. You are advancing. You are taking charge. You are advancing. For somebody, the devil has scammed you for too long. You are breaking camp. And you are advancing. The Lord has given you the land. Go in and take possession. In the name of the Lord, you are advancing. And you are taking charge. You are advancing. And you are taking charge. In Jesus' name. Let's open our Bibles again to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. I'm going to be reading in the Amplified Version. From verse 10 to 13. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 to 13. I read verse 10 to 12 in Amplified and verse 13 in NLT. So this is how I know that this is what the Lord is saying to us. This is how I know that you are advancing and you are not going back to that point. "For as the rain and snow come down from the heavens and return not therein, but water the earth and make it bring forth and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, without producing any effect. But it shall accomplish that which I please and propose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For it shall go out from the spiritual exile caused by sin and evil into the homeland with joy, and be led forth by your leader, the Lord himself and his word, with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. I read verse 12 again. For it shall go out from the spiritual exile caused by sin and evil into the homeland with joy, and be led forth by your leader, the Lord himself and his word, with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Where once there were thorns, cypress trees will grow. Where briars grew, myrtles will sprout up. This miracle will bring great honor to the Lord's name. It will be an everlasting sign of his power and love. So God is saying to us that as we are breaking forth, he is going ahead of us. He's the one that is leading us. We are going as an army of the Lord, as an envoy. He's the one that is leading us. So there is no going back. There is no stopping. There is no stopping short. It's the one himself that is leading us. He says we'll be led forth by our leader, the Lord himself. The Lord himself is leading us. And we are not going back in the name of Jesus. This experience for us is not going to be one-off. This experience for us is not going to be one time. It's going to be a lasting encounter for us in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name I have prayed. Alright, so I've finished the Bible study and there's just like an instruction now. So God says that there's somebody here, or some of us here, that we are like the Israelites. You know, in that Deuteronomy, in verse 1, it was saying that it takes 11 days to travel from where they were to Horeb. But then, I think it's the Amplified Version that says the children of Israel used 40 years. And one of the reasons is that they kept on recounting the pleasures of Egypt. Somebody here, God is saving you, or God has saved you from Egypt, but then you still want to savor the pleasures. He's saying you cannot advance that way. That's not how to break forth. You can't have the best of both worlds. It's not possible. If you want to go with God, go with God. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you shall serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So if you indeed want to break forth, if you want to advance, you are going to advance with the Lord leading you. You can't keep looking back. Many of us sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. The lyrics are nice. The melody is beautiful. But then, pay attention to the wordings. No turning back. No turning back. For somebody, the reason you are not breaking forth is that you have not seen the bigger picture. So you think the best of you is in the past. The children of Israel, they had garlic, they had ginger, they had vegetables, everything they were mentioning to God in the wilderness. But then there was Canaan. There was a land flowing with milk and honey. Fine, there were giants there. There were giants. But then God said, I have given you the land. Go in and possess. The God who said that is because he's going to help them to possess the land. And they were actually going to dwell therein. So God says to tell you that the best of you is yet to come. Say to your neighbor, the best of me is yet to come. The best of me is yet to come. There is more to me than now is. You're not saying it's like you are sure. There is more to me than now is. There is more to me than now is. And finally, somebody here has been living in perpetual fear. You have lost that confidence and the peace that comes with staying in the presence of God. You have been outside for too long. Come back home. He's calling to you. Advance. 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 You are a son. Say to yourself, I am a son. I am a son. I am a son. Galatians tells us that because we are sons, he has sent the spirit of his son into us, crying out, Abba, Father. And Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will send my spirit, the comforter. So stop living as an orphan. Stop living as an orphan. Outside there, Satan has not absolutely nothing to offer you. It's Jesus that cares. It's only Jesus that cares. Say it again, I am a son. I am a son. And I am coming into the reality of my sonship. I am a son. And I am coming into the reality of my sonship. Again, I am a son. And I am coming into the reality of my sonship. For the last time, I am a son. And I am coming into the reality of my sonship. Father, we thank you for another privilege to learn at your feet tonight. We say, be thou exalted in Jesus' name. Thank you for bringing your counsel to us. Thank you, Jesus, because it is break forth season and we are breaking forth. Thank you, Father, because we are advancing. Thank you because according to your word, you are the one leading us. Thank you because you have given us your word. Thank you because you are progressing us in your will. Thank you, Father. And we ask, oh God, that break forth will go beyond the theme and it's going to be an experience in our lives. It will not be one-off. It will be holistic. Every aspect of our lives will experience it. In Jesus' mighty name. Turn to your neighbor and say again, it is break forth season. It is break forth season. Praise God.